She is the least of my favorite princesses. Yeah, I like Cinderella more than Snow White. It was so good. The delivery was everything. That was awesome. Thanks. Oh, Alberto, can you out here?
Is Dave allowed to come up?
Yeah, it was Dave. Dave, can you come up here?
Or usually the way it goes, if you don't laugh at my jokes, it's because you have a sense of humor. That's fine. That's how it goes. I have bad jokes. It's fine. That's true. I do all at school all the time, and it makes it better. It really does. I know. All right, so we have an announcement to make. It's pretty exciting. I'm trying to think of how I want to start it now. I don't want to just like right into it. Did I? I did, yeah. Nah. All right, so let's see. I'm just going to jump right into it. It's fine. It's good. So Rachel is going to be joining our leadership group. Yay. I really couldn't think of a better way to preface that. Anything. Something. But yeah, so while we were in Salt Lake, usually what we'll do, you know, kind of just as a leadership, after the, like, the Saturday session and a lot of that stuff kind of gets over after church on Sundays, we'll kind of get together, and for us, we kind of use it as sort of like a decompression time, kind of like a check-in from the weekend, see how everybody's doing, and also we sort of use it as a little bit of, like, a kind of what's going on, maybe a little bit of vision casting, which is kind of what it's turned into over the last, what, maybe 2 years, I would say, has been... the last two times, we've been doing that. So, you know, we were just kind of talking about sort of like, you know, what we were sort of feeling out the Lord doing, you know, with the church kind of in the rest of this year and kind of coming up into the year as we start to think about, you know, new directions and things like that. And so I had kind of floated, I think I had floated the idea, but everybody else was just like, oh yeah, we've been thinking about it for a while, there you go, I'm glad somebody said it kind of thing. And so I kind of floated the idea that, you know, Rachel should join our team. Because she's awesome. Hey, how's it going? But yeah, so I guess they wanted me to do the announcement because I'm the one that kind of came up with it. But I wanted to sort of share a little bit, too, that it wasn't just sort of like, yeah, we need another person on the leadership team. Because we did that before where we just, like, everybody was a leader. It really was like an episode of Oprah where it's just like, everyone is a leader. And it got really ridiculous. And so, you know, we're not just trying to make this like a giant club of people who get to do everything. Popping is annoying. I shouldn't talk straight into it. I'm blaming it on the new speakers because it never did that before with like the P's and stuff. Yeah, I'm still trying to get all that stuff sorted out. You know what? You look like you're from the 80s. That's fair. Yeah, you don't. Sorry. I digress. Yeah, we're back. I guess we're not back. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Yeah. Thanks. But yeah, so again, not that we're just like throwing a bunch of people sort of into leadership for no reason at all, but like we actually, you know, we're trying to do sort of like, the more plural leadership model. And we really felt like Rachel had like a lot to add to the group. Not just, hey, you've been here for a while, you do stuff, like cool, now you get to come to the club meetings. Because if that were the case, like everybody would, you know, be in the club. But I can't speak for everybody else because everybody else sort of has their own opinions, which agree, like, we're all in, a, you know, in congruence here. This isn't like we took a vote and it was like, you know, 3-2. and so it's like, you know, you edged your way in, you know. But so it's not like that, like I said, you know. But we're all of congruent opinion, but yeah, like I said, so I'll just put my two cents in there. I think the incongruence. The noun, in congruence with each other. Now it's not incongruent, because that's an adjective. We agree with each other. It's fair. It's fine. But yeah, so like I said, so the reason I had kind of had been thinking about this was I think, and I've been, not really, for the last 30 minutes since Alberta said I was the one making the announcement, I've been considering the word influencer. Like, the Lord kind of put that word into my brain, and I really hate that word. Like, I hate it. It's so overused, and it's really become, like, extremely trite, I think. And again, this is my opinion. But it's like, you know, you go through whatever social media platform you want to look at, and there's, like, all these people that are just like, oh, my God, I'm, like, a cultural influencer because I have 7 million viewers. And I'm like, well, really, like, what impact are you making in the long run? And so the Lord was just kind of, like, stirring that word up. And, you know, so sort of I had this picture of, like, so leaders in general are influencers. And I'm not going to – I am, because I love Laura, and, you know, it's okay to make her mad. I'm doing squares and rectangles. It's like squares and rectangles. So, like, all leaders are influencers, but not all influencers are leaders. Does that make sense? It's squares and rectangles. But, so here's the thing. With the right amount of adjustment, all rectangles can be squares. All you have to do is just smush them in one direction or the other. But you have to change it. Like, that's where I'm going here. I don't know what that face means. Stop. But so, that's fair. But with, like I said, so with some adjustment, very little adjustment, like, you can take a rectangle and make it into a square. It didn't start that way, but, like, it, you took the properties of it that basically make it a square, adjusted it slightly, and, like, now you have a square. Everybody following me? I've had 30 minutes to come up with this while running the soundboard. Back up. And so, but really, like, that was sort of the thought process that I was going to, kind of, like, as I was thinking about Rachel. Like, she has a lot of influence, not just, like, in our community, but in the community. And she has a lot of influence, like, in the kingdom. And it was one of those, like, all the Lord needed to do was just a little bit of, like, and now, like, now she's a square. So it's like, she went from the influencer category to the Lord was like, tweak. And now, like, you've made it to, like, square leader. Just like that. And, I mean, I can take the illustration in several different ways, but I'm not going to. Basically, that was sort of, like, my idea. It's like, you've got the basis of what makes a good leader. You just didn't have the title yet. Like, you were doing the stuff. You know, it's like, you're a stomach. And you're digesting things. You just don't know that you're a stomach yet. And somebody came along and it's like, oh, yeah, you're the stomach. And now you're like, cool, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I can just, like, do it way better now. You know? I don't know. That's the thing. You guys that come to Bible study, the two of you, understand that more than everyone else. But, you know, and again, it's not just sort of like an aggrandizement or just sort of like, here we're passing out titles to everybody. But again, like, there's validity in, like, putting a title on someone. Like, when you go throughout the New Testament here, I'll actually get to, like, the real part of the message where I'm serious about stuff. But when you go throughout the New Testament, like, it's very important that, actually not even the New Testament, the whole of Scripture, like, when things happen, like, the Lord puts words on it. Like, people get their names changed because something happened. Like, the Lord did a thing. In the New Testament, like, when officers and pastors, bishops, deacons, whatever you want to call them, whatever word you translate those into, it was accompanied by the laying on of hands. Because, like, it wasn't just a, here, have a title. Like, it's a, we're recognizing the grace that you have and the giftings that you have, and we're plugging you into where you need to be. Like, with my stomach analogy, I said this to Laura and Elise, we were having a conversation before church. Imagine if, like, when you were born, you had all of your organs inside of your body, but none of them were connected to each other. They're all just sort of floating around in this, like, meat sack, hoping that they'll start to just do stuff. And they just start trying things out. Like, one day your liver decides, like, oh, there's some food that came in through, what's that? The mouth. Okay, so it came in through the mouth. I'm gonna try and break that down. And, like, your liver just swims up here and starts trying to break down food. Like, it's not going to do anything. So, again, it's not that, like, the liver didn't have the liver function, but until you put it where it's supposed to be and hook it up to the necessary parts, the liver doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And that's why, you know, like, that's why the New Testament uses that, the imagery of the body. And so, like, again, it isn't just to pass out a title, but to say, like, you have a place, and we're putting you in it so that you know and you have the resources around you and the other parts to make you work better, not just for yourself, but for, like, the function of the body. So it's like, well, I think while you've been doing things, it's like, here's an official, you're a liver. And, like, there you go. Better? Better than the square analogy? That was way better. Yeah. There you go. Thanks. Huh?
No, that was good. I think it's been the last 2 years that you've been coming here pretty regularly. 3 years. Okay, well, I didn't pay attention for that first year. So for the last 2 years, Rachel's been coming here, serving alongside with us, doing some traveling with us to some of the various places we're a part of. All of the trips we went, all of the traveling. And so it was sort of that natural kind of familiar relationship. And when she left Church on the Rock, I remember initially, I think for most of us, we recognize that there are leaders that are part of a specific community and then just people who are leaders in general. And I think initially we didn't want to just like, oh, you have to be a person here, you know. And we tend to just kind of give people a period of time like, hey, take this period of time off and as well as here are our requirements and our expectation. But it occurred to us that, like, Rachel had done all of those in the last 3 years. And so it was very much like, oh, you've been doing them for the last 3 years. And so I remember we were sitting down, and the way Chris verbalized it, he said, the Justice League needs a new member. And so I was like, I was like, yeah, we need a Wonder Woman. I was like, we're drafting people? Like, it's like, yeah, no. He took, yeah. So, and when he said it, it was like, oh, yeah, I mean, maybe we should kind of bring it up to her and see if she's even remotely interested. But it was one of those things that naturally clicked, and I think for most of you who have hung out with her would know that. I mean, it's not like we're talking to a crowd of 200 people who don't know it, right? Yeah. Everyone here has been hanging out with Rachel, and so we value what you carry and who you are, and we are grateful and humbled that you would be a part of this, so. Yeah. Lightning falls from the sky. Suddenly she's like imbued. You're like, doo, 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 doo. And suddenly all the armor stuff. All right, we're done. Okay. Yeah, sorry. All right. Well, I do.
Rachel, can you come up here so we can pray over you?
I'll take the picture. My phone's
on. I like your shirt, Abigail.
Wow, let's turn it into a photography session. Nope, doesn't exist. Do not look behind you, everyone.
Who's the leaders here?
as soon as we pray for her, we got to blood her in, so everybody's going to start hitting her, and she's got to last 2 minutes. What? What kind of gang were you a part of? A suicide gang? A suicide squad? Heavenly Father, we first of all, we receive the gift that is Rachel. Lord, we recognize that you send people to us, not just their talent, not just what they have to offer, but their hearts. And we are grateful for just the opportunity to work alongside her, serve under her, serve the community alongside her, Father. And we just ask that you would show us how to not only take care of each other, but also leaders like Rachel, Father, how to speak words of encouragement, how to give advice, how to take leadership from. And we just ask, God, that in this new season that you would just blossom the gifting that you've already entrusted to her, that you would give increase to what's already in her heart, that you would give her new vision, new dreams, new aspirations, and just a new levels of favor and grace in those places that she's laid her hands to.
Oh, thank you. I receive it. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is it warm in here? I feel warm. Okay. I know. I felt like I got that feeling like the walls were closing in. all right. How's it going? Everyone good? Ready to jump into this? I wasn't, unfortunately, here last week when Dave talked about two of my favorites. Did we record last week? Yes. I'll have to listen to it. So, unfortunately, I wasn't here, but this week, we're going to stay in Romans 12, which is kind of, it's the where he pulled the two from. Sorry, Alberta was distracting me. Yes. Okay, I'm going to stay in Romans 12, and tonight I'm focusing in on one, because there were two that I was going to do, and I was telling Chris earlier, I kind of got almost a little frustrated when I was like preparing my message this week. Thank you. I forgot there's a shelf. So I was getting a little bit frustrated because I felt like I was trying to have you ever been trying to give language or give words to something that you have experienced and you felt, but like you almost like the words aren't there, you know? like and I just kind of felt like that multiple times this week, where I was like, I'm trying to express this thing that is real and supernatural, and I felt it and I've experienced it and I know it. How do I give that words? So anyway, what I did is I kind of just started diving into the words that are in Romans 12. Romans 12 and actually all throughout Scripture, regarding the word and the gift of exhortation, which is what I'm going to be talking about. Thanks for sitting up front, you guys. I love that. hopefully I leave some work for you on Wednesday. So in my effort to put words to it, so you're going to hear a lot of like, tonight I just went into a lot of like, this word means this, and it comes from this, and it's derived from this, and some of these words I can't pronounce, but I'm doing it because I'm doing it because I feel like there's so much that gets lost in a word sometimes, because we understand it in one single one single context, one single form, one way. And that's how we receive or process that word. And sometimes that's due to our own experience. Sometimes that's just due to the English language. It can be limiting. And so I just felt like I don't want to lose anything when we're talking about this gift. And so it's gonna come at you. All right, so I'm gonna first real quick just read over the Romans 12. It's verses 6, 7, and 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do so cheerfully. So I really love, I was reading through different translations too, and the Passion, that was not the Passion Translation, but in the Passion Translation of Romans, verse 6 says this: God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. And then from that point forward, when he's listing prophecy and serving and teaching and exhortation, they're all called grace gifts, because God's marvelous grace imparts to each of us. So I just really liked that, because it was just like, if you have the grace gift of prophecy, if you have the grace gift of exhortation, if you have the grace gift of teaching, and I really just love that, like, kind of the way it's packaged there, because because it's by his grace. And I think that that's important for us to remember. So going into that, the word for exhortation in this passage is Chris or Deborah, parakaleo. Okay. Parakaleo. And Chris, I saw it, actually, I meant to ask you about this beforehand, and I didn't. I saw that when you had it translated, you said spirit-inspired speaking. Where'd you get that? I did not see that. It's fine. It worked out. It was good. And it kind of gave me a framework, which was nice. But spirit-inspired speaking, or parakaleo, the translation in most, as I read through all the translations of Romans 12, most translations go to exhort or encourage. So exhortation or encouragement is this gift that we're talking about. And most people immediately think of saying nice things, right? Those are compliments. And there's a little bit of a difference. It's not that I don't love giving compliments. I love giving compliments, and compliments are great. But Chris pointed out that it was like a square and a rectangle again, right? That like compliments can be a part of encouragement. Sometimes that's a part of encouragement. Sometimes that's a part of exhortation. But if you're at the grocery store and you tell somebody that you like their skirt, like that's a nice compliment, but you're not like, that's not the gift of exhortation, right? Like, that's just you being a nice person, and rock on, keep doing it, but it's not the gift of exhortation. I mean, that's what Alberto, 15-year-old Alberto was waiting for that. Oh, God. Where shopping is a pleasure. Okay, I'm trying, okay. He loves Publix too. Okay, so I wanted to get that out of the way, because the reality is when we talk about the gift of exhortation, there's a much deeper spiritual aspect. There's a supernatural aspect to exhortation and encouragement in reference to the gift. Hi, guys. So parakaleo refers to the act of calling someone to one's side in order to help. And I really love this, because what it caused me to think of is you know, even tonight, so right, tonight was an example. We all stood up here. I wanted us all to stand up here. And then we didn't just say, hey, Rachel, you're part of leadership. Like, we love that you're here. Awesome. We called her to our side, and we laid hands, and we prayed over her. And there's something so important, and I love that this word is the act of, like, as a verb, it's the act of calling someone to one side. Because there's so much strength in that when we as believers, right, are calling someone to our side, or vice versa, right, when we are called to someone's side. When I was in Salt Lake City, Tommy and Chrissy, the Rev gathering this past time, they surprised me. I did not know what was happening, but they wanted to ordain me with underneath the Rev gathering. And I think because I was so, like, I was taken off guard, I didn't expect it. But I remember feeling the power that just came from this act of, like, there was a calling me up, calling me forward, stand at our side, we're going to lay hands, we're going to pray. And there's such a strength in that. So that's part of what this word means, right, is exhortation, encouragement, to call someone to your side. It was also used in courts of law as one who pleads another's cause before a judge. So like a counsel, a defense, or an advocate. So in the widest sense, right, like if I could, I'm going to go down like the list of words that it's used hundreds of times. And so there's different like moments where it's used in a different way. And so I'm just going to kind of go down the list. In the widest sense, it means a helper, one who aids another. So like that's kind of like this broad brush. But it can mean to console, comfort, counsel, strengthen, beseech, or implore. And so you'll see that a lot in the New Testament when Paul is talking. We read this, the translations, we read this word beseech. And I remember, like, as I was reading the translations, I'm like, that word is so disconnected for me. Am I alone in that? Like, do you guys feel, I don't know, what is that? Does that word feel, like, intimate? Yeah, it does? Okay, cool. And maybe that's it. Maybe I... You gave Chris a stroke. So I just felt like, I remember being like, so all throughout the New Testament, when it's translated beseech or implore, I just remember feeling like, I didn't understand that, you know? And I'll get into that a little bit later on, but that is kind of the really broad brush of what this word means, okay? So parakaleo, yeah. So now I want to go into the translation, right? When we translate it to exhort or encourage, okay? Our English word, encourage, means, like, literally means with heart. And what? So, and then according to the Merriam-Webster place, exhort is a 15th century word derived from the Latin verb hortare, which means to incite. So exhort, this word, comes from this term that means to incite something. And in many places where Paul's using this word, right, this is where like the thought of beseeching or implore came in, because I was like, exhortation, to incite. The English word for implore or, beseech, the implore is the Latin meaning to invoke with tears. And that, to me, is what made it, kind of like brought it back to this place of intimacy. Paul is writing letters from the church, or to the church, sometimes from prison, and he's saying to them, I beseech you, you know, and I'm like, is that, like, okay, I almost feel like I was glossing over that all the time. I was just glossing over that word, and then I'm realizing what's happening here is that Paul is passionately, lovingly, with heart, right? With heart, he's inciting within the believers. He's calling them to his side
to speak truth and to speak to their spirits, to get them to act and behave according to their identity. And that is what an exhortation, the gift of exhortation, looks like in the body. Is people who will call us to their side, and they will like lovingly urge us to do what we need to be doing, right? The realities of who we are and our identity, when what we're doing doesn't always line up with that. Those people call us to their side. It's not like, and I thought of this too. I'm trying to remember where I first heard this, because it was a long time ago. I think it might have been in that, do you guys remember like the True Faced series in like the early 2000s? yeah. So I think it was in that series. They talked about how we can sometimes see our sin as a mountain, and Jesus is on the other side of this like mess. And we're like shoveling, trying to like get the move the mountain behind us, or get it out of the way, you know, and move through it so we can get to Jesus. And they just talked about how we need to change our understanding and realize that Jesus is actually on the side. Like, we are on his side. We are standing beside him. The mountain of our sin is not in between us and him, you know? And I had that picture too, because I thought there's so much power. There's so much truth in our identity when we call each other to stand next to each other. and then we speak with heart and with love. Hey, like, this is who you are. This is the truth. This is your identity. And it calls our actions, and it calls our behaviors, and it calls our thoughts into line with who we are. Does that make sense? These are the people that, like friends. I was trying to think of people who I have in my life seen walk out the gift of exhortation, right? And some of them are just these like powerhouse people, right? Their personality is just fiery and passionate and zealous. And they make me feel like I can take on the world. You know, like I'm like, I just, you know, I was telling Alberta, our friend Tommy is one of those people. And a couple months back, I was having a conversation with him on the phone. And I remember feeling like I got off the phone with him and I said to Alberto, he makes me feel like I can do anything. Like, he makes me feel like the hard things that I have to go and, like, I have to go and do this hard thing and I don't want to do it. And I have one conversation with him and I'm like, I got this. This is totally fine, you know? Like, that's, I just felt like, and so, but then I thought of other people who I have seen operate in the gift. And maybe just because their personality is different, it expresses itself differently. But the goal is the same. The goal is to call, their goal, right, is to call me or the people around them, right, all the believers around them, the people that they lead, to call them into growth in their identity, to call them into being more of who they're meant to be, according to who God says they are. So these are the people who, like, and there's a gift to it. It's a grace gift, right? So, like, it's supernatural. These are the people who you don't feel judged by when they ask if you've prayed about it. Right? Like, how many of you guys have ever had a friend who's like, you know, you go and you vent to them, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, have you prayed about it? And you're just like, you pray about it. like, you know, like, you just want to be like, you do it. but the gift of exhortation, you shouldn't feel that way. There's not a judgment. Conviction will come, for sure. Conviction is different. But you don't feel judged, right? There's no shame, like, when somebody's like, what does the Lord say about that? because they're calling us to their side, right? It's not, I don't suddenly feel like this person is against me, or this person is looking down on me, or this person is ever, they're calling me to their side. And so, and that's why I really did love, it's Spirit-inspired speaking, because the Spirit inspires the words and the timing. And they're equally important. How many of you have ever, like, I'm sure, I feel like I cannot be the only one. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I know that this person is trying to encourage me, like, I know they're doing their best, but I'm just so mad right now. You know, you're just like, stop talking to me. You know, like, that's not helping. That's not what I need to hear. No, absolutely. And I think the reality is at different times, I've probably been that person to some of you in this very room, right? Roommates. Sometimes I was probably like, well, this is what you need to do, and I just don't really have time, and da-da-da-da, and like, and it probably didn't feel very exhorting, right? We've all been that person, but we've all also been on the receiving end of that, right? And so I think that it's important to realize that within this gift, this grace gift, the Spirit inspires the words, and he inspires the timing. And sometimes that, you know, the reverse is true, right? Have you ever, I love those moments where, like, you get a word from somebody or somebody approaches you and just says, like, hey, I felt like this is what God said for this moment, for this time. And it is, like, exactly what you need, right? Like, that moment is just, I feel like it's so refreshing for our spirits because we're reminded. Because at some point we forgot, or we agreed with a lie, or whatever, but it's like this refreshing moment where we go, oh, he sees, he knows. Like, and I just think that's really powerful in the body, right? Because it's, especially, obviously, it's a supernatural tool for even unbelievers, I think. I've seen people who operate in that gift, and they can be speaking to an unbeliever, and they can start to encourage their heart and their spirit. And the unbeliever isn't, like, that person doesn't even have to be giving God the glory or understanding what's happening. But there's a spiritual thing taking place, right? There's a supernatural thing taking place, spirit to spirit, whether that person understands or registers it or not. But then even within the body, right, from believer to believer, it's so necessary that we are... that we have people who can call us to their side, and we can hear the hard thing from, and we can be encouraged and not feel shame or judgment from them. I was actually thinking back to I don't even remember what was going on in my life at the time, but I was in youth group, and I had recently met Alicia. It was probably within a couple months of meeting Alicia. And it had to be more than a couple months because you were saved at that point. But I was just in a really rough spot one night. And I remember I said to the Lord, like, just in praying, and I was angry about something, and I don't even remember what it was. But I said to him, like, with so much just attitude and frustration and resentment, I was like, it's cool. Like, you forgot. Like, I just was like, you forgot, and it's cool. Like, and it's so passive aggressive, right? Like, I was throwing a fit. I was just having a tantrum. And that same night, maybe hours, just a few hours later, Alberto, we were at youth group, and Alberto, Alicia wasn't there, and he brings me his phone, his little flip cell phone. And he says, hey, Alicia's on the phone, and she wants to talk to you. And I was like, this is weird. Yeah, we were, like, barely friends, and so I'm like, okay. And I get on the phone with her, and she says, she's like, hey, this is really awkward, this is really weird, like, I don't normally do this, but I just asked Alberto to hand you the phone because I felt like God wanted to tell you that he didn't forget. And I was like, instant puddle, right? Like, it's just that moment of like, oh my gosh, something broke, right? The lie that I had agreed with, that I had spoken over my own spirit, my own life, broke because the truth had been spoken. And it called me back into my identity, right? She called me to her side. And she's like, hey, this is the truth of who you are and what God says. And it was such a powerful moment that, like, you know, it's so funny because I love that I look back and I'm like, I don't even remember what I was mad about. I just know that he set me free. Like, I think, like, when I reflect on exhortation and the encouragement, right? There's a quote that I love, and it says that encouragement should give courage. And if it doesn't, sometimes it's just a thinly veiled rebuke, right? Like, we oftentimes use, like, I'm just encouraging this person. But where's our heart really at? Is your heart really from the position of love to call them into their identity? Or is it a thinly veiled rebuke that you just kind of want to call them out on their crap? And if your encouragement is not giving courage and you're just calling someone out on their crap, try again. Take a step back. Reassess. Let it come from the Spirit, right? It's Spirit-inspired. So that's kind of all I have on it. Are there any, do you guys have any questions? Like, is there anything I said that was like, that was weird? Rachel? So, couple things. I personally, right, I would say that they are going to overlap enough at times, but I realize that not everybody is going to feel that way. Some people will really want to make a distinction because I think some people have a... trying to figure out the word, maybe a disconnect with the supernatural aspect of it, or they don't fully understand or recognize the supernatural aspect of it. Alicia actually said something before service that I didn't put in my message because it feels a little like I didn't have time, and maybe Chris can go into this a little more maybe on Wednesday, but actually in a different place, I think it's in, what are the other gift portions? I think it's in 1 Corinthians. I think that's where it is, where prophecy is actually, or encouragement or exhortation is actually linked kind of in word to prophecy. And so I was reading this thing and it talked about how a lot of people actually consider it like just an avenue of the prophetic, right? And Alicia was talking about that before service, where she, as a very prophetic person, like recognizes and was like, it was fun to hear her talk about it because she was like it's so closely linked for her to the prophetic gifting, right? And I think especially also for someone like you, I think that it is, and I've seen you operate in that too, where it's like it's so linked to the prophetic, and there are moments where encouragement will include a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. I don't think that it always has to happen. And so that's where I would go, like, yeah, there is a distinction. Squares, rectangles, maybe, again. Yeah, like, it's like, there's going to be moments where it includes that. And I think that there's a very prophetic, supernatural aspect to the gifting. But I don't necessarily think that it's all, like, they're one and the same. Alberto, do you have something to add to that? I grew up in the church, and then
thank you.
Right, and we were talking beforehand about how, like, the office gift that you might operate in is also a filter by which you also use these tools, you know. Who else, Jason? So Sean Bolts is throwing shot put. Just kidding. did you have your hand up? Did you want to say it? Parakaleo. Is that the one? Oh, there you go. Dave's got it. Parakaleo. Yeah, it's an invitation call. Yeah. Okay. Does that help? Does that kind of answer?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Further. Yeah. Sure. That's good. Yeah. That's so funny. Sure. Yeah. And I think, and like, it's so funny that Chris is up here like, no, but it's like, it's true. Like, there, for some people, it's going to be very important to draw those lines and have full understanding, right? For the teacher in Chris, it's like, if I'm going to impart this to someone else, I need to have very clear, definitive understanding to be able to give it to them, like, well. Where, like, you know, I'm, you know, Rachel or I are sometimes like, does it really matter what you call it? Like, just teach them how to do it. But I say that, but, like, remember that what I started talking about is that I ended up getting frustrated this week because I was like, I don't have language for what I know is real, right? Like, it's like, I have experienced this, I felt it, like, I understand this, but I would get so frustrated, like, how do I put words to this, right? Like, and so the teachers and the Chris's are correct. Like, sometimes it's so necessary. Even just diving into those words and picking apart, like, our English language and going into, like, the derivatives and that kind of stuff this week has been really, like, helpful for me. So anyway, so what I want to do now, and we'll do it fairly quickly, is Alberto and Rachel, if you guys can come up here with me. Alicia, would you mind playing? I just want to take a few minutes, and if you feel like the gift of exhortation or encouragement is something that you operate in, or if you feel kind of like a stirring and maybe it's like, I don't necessarily operate that not all the time, but I really kind of feel like I'm supposed to. You feel the Spirit doing something in regards to this gift, we want to pray over you. And we just kind of want to speak truth over you and activate that that in your spirit and let the Holy Spirit kind of come into that place with you, call you to his side, and exhort and encourage you tonight. So if that's you, go ahead and come down front.